CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, and we're very pleased to welcome our colleague of longstanding, Mark Clifford, former editor-publisher at South China Morning Post, but most importantly, he's a director at Next Digital. Next Digital publishes Apple Daily. Apple Daily is the publication in question by the regime on the mainland closing down free speech and making arrests of people in favor of democracy, wide-scale arrests. One in particular, the man who published at Apple Daily, now condemned and behind jail, Jimmy Lai. However, Mark, I welcome you back, and I'm very keen on your thoughts about what's passed since we last spoke. Apple Daily, is it still functioning now? What is its fate? All that. But first, this irony. The mayor, the director, the boss of Hong Kong says that it's open for business. How should we take that remark, open for business, after all the brutality we've seen? Good evening, Mark.
Good evening, John, and great to be back with you. I think we should take Carrie Lam's remark that Hong Kong's open for business with many, many grains of salt. Yes, there's a tide of liquidity around the world that's buoying stock markets. Yes, the mainland authorities in Beijing want to do everything they can to suggest that life is normal in Hong Kong, but life isn't normal. I mean, we've just had this draconian national security law. Jimmy Lai and more than 50 other people are behind bars, even though they haven't been tried, let alone convicted. Their trials aren't expected for a year, 2 years, 3 years. They're just being held. And now, as you said, they've just seized Jimmy Lai's assets.
Gordon, the puzzle here is Jimmy Lai. Who is he, Gordon? What's important?
Jimmy Lai is important because he was a well-known businessman in Hong Kong, the Giordano brand of stores. Jimmy has actually become, for a long time now, one of the leading pro-democracy people on the island. And the reason is because of Apple Daily, which is the main pro-democracy newspaper. And Jimmy has suffered quite a lot from a business point of view in order to make sure that pro-democracy views get an airing in the territory.
And Gordon, Jimmy Lai is well-to-do. He's extremely popular. He's world-famous. Why didn't he leave before the authorities knocked on his door?
That's an important question, and I think it's because Jimmy believes in the cause. He believes in democracy. He believes that Hong Kong should be governed by Hong Kong people. And this has been, personal cause for him. So, yes, he could have left. He had many opportunities to do so, but he chose to stay and fight.
You have a question for Mark.
Go ahead, Gordon. I'm sorry.
No, you first.
Well, I was going to say, and Jimmy is a British citizen, which is interesting that he's being held under these conditions. We haven't heard a lot from the UK government, I have to say. But Jimmy is a Hong Konger. He came to Hong Kong as an illegal immigrant, a stowaway in the bottom of a sampan, taught himself to read English. As you said, Gordon, self-made man. He ran a retail chain. He was in the textile business. And then he saw what happened on June 4th, 1989, when Chinese troops slaughtered students and other pro-democracy protesters in Beijing. And he was radicalized. He was transformed. So he went from being a retail guy, a garment guy, to a media entrepreneur, and his Apple has been very successful. And as you said, the only real pro-democracy newspaper in Hong Kong. And he said Hong Kong gave him everything, and he's going to stay and fight for Hong Kong. And he's not sure how much fighting he's doing because he's been behind bars. He was denied bail before he was ultimately convicted on peaceful assembly charges. He's now serving a 14-month sentence, and then he's got a slew of other charges. So, fascinating story, a very, very brave man.
And Apple Daily, what is its fate now? What about the staff? What about everybody who's been attached to it these years? Are they secure?
I don't think anyone is secure in Hong Kong these days who's affiliated with the pro-democracy movement. Yes, they're journalists, and they have some freedoms that perhaps ordinary people don't enjoy. But the government, led by the head of the police, has been talking about cracking down on fake news, which the government feels Apple peddles. So I think the screws are tightening on Apple and certainly on Jimmy. The freezing of his bank accounts, the freezing of the shares have been suspended from trading since, I believe, May 17th. They're due to start trading again in a few hours in the Hong Kong exchange opens. But there's a lot of pressure on the company. I mean, as we all know, media companies everywhere are under pressure, but this is pressure of a quite extraordinary kind.
Gordon?
Mark, when the Apple Daily's offices were raided a few months ago, the reaction of the people in Hong Kong was to buy the shares of Next Digital, driving it to incredible highs, really as a show of support. What would happen if China and basically the Hong Kong government, but really China, if they moved to shut down Apple Daily? Would there be rallying support on the Hong Kong people, or would they be just so coerced that we wouldn't hear about it?
It's always hard to predict the future, and I think let me deflect that a little by saying I think we're going to see a test of how Hong Kong people feel when the annual commemoration of the 1989 Tiananmen killings comes up on June 4th. Rallies have been prohibited by the government, but there's a feeling that people will just individually light candles or do something else. So I think the mood in Hong Kong is pretty on the beaten down, but on the other hand, defiant, not defiant like we're going to go have a rally, but defiant like I'm going to show in my own small way. So I think it's hard to say what would happen if the newspaper was shut down, but this raid last August was extraordinary. Something like 200 police came into the newsroom. They grabbed Jimmy Lai out of his house, put handcuffs on him, handcuffed behind his back, and did a perp walk through the newsroom, held him for almost 48 hours. That was sort of, you know, an escalation in his legal troubles. And as you said, he got a lot of support from people in Hong Kong. I mean, the irony in Hong Kong is ever since there's been voting, direct voting, since the early 1990s during the British colonial period, about 60% of people consistently support the pro-democracy candidates. Beijing, the communists in Beijing, just cannot take this. They can't stomach it. They just feel that they have to shut the people down. And Jimmy and Apple Daily have emerged as the most visible form of resistance, and they're paying a price for it.
Mark, the remark by Carrie Lam, we're open for business, we can interpret that as her being pugnacious, yes, and doing what she's told. I understand she doesn't have a lot of freedom. She serves her bosses in Beijing. But is that an indication that business is not good in Hong Kong? Or is there any metric to say that people are not trusting the authorities to maintain transparency, maintain capitalism, maintain property values? Are people voting with their feet, to your knowledge, Mark?
Well, I think one indication is a survey a couple of weeks ago by the American Chamber of Commerce, in which 42% of members, of AmCham members who responded to the survey, said they were considering leaving Hong Kong. At 42% is a pretty high number. And a significant portion of those said the national security law fears were driving that. But they're also just concerned. I mean, the COVID situation in Hong Kong is, on the one hand, very under control. But the restrictions that are imposed on quarantines and other things have really made it difficult for a lot of people. Business travel is essentially non-existent. So it's a political situation on top of the COVID situation, and just on top of a general kind of malaise and inability to move and do business. And then you see somebody's shares seized, his bank accounts frozen without a court order, by the way. It's just a letter from the Secretary of Security saying, we think you might have done something. We're going to get around to trying you in another year or so, but until then, we're taking your property. I mean, that's not really very good for a business environment, but Beijing is just going to flood the zone with money. I mean, they're making it easier for mainlanders to invest in Hong Kong, and they're doing everything they can to prop up the city as an international center. I think it's going to be a great test. I mean, Beijing has a lot of resources. So can, in the modern world, an international financial center thrive under a totalitarian government? That's the question.
And your opinion, Mark, your last thoughts here, do you think they can pull this off, a Potemkin city? 30 seconds.
I don't like to predict the future. Beijing has a lot of resources, but the people of Hong Kong are resourceful on their own. Some are leaving. Many Hong Kongers are staying and are defiant, along with Jimmy Lai and the other political prisoners.
Mark Clifford, a director of Next Digital, the company that publishes Apple Daily. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.